listening to the Locked On Auburn podcast, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast, brought to you by Fetch Me Home Delivery. Zach Blackerby, Michael Papp is here with you, and we're taking the show on the road because we are joined today by voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
I think it's the first time this show has not been in the Auburn Network family of station studios. Do we have a name for this studio?
This is the Auburn Sports Network studio.
Sweet. I'm fired up.
Yeah.
You fired up, Michael?
I'm a little intimidated, to be honest.
He was so nervous on the way over here,
really?
Andy. I'll tell you what. He was so nervous.
There's no reason to be nervous, Michael. Zach can tell you that.
Yeah.
Right?
Just a bunch of dudes just hanging out.
Right. Exactly.
So we talked before the season got going, Andy. I mean, we're halfway through the year. How's everything been?
You know, this has been a whirlwind time,
right?
Starting back in May with the accident that set all of this in motion.
Right.
And then in August when the announcement was made and the Auburn club meetings and just various events, let alone just getting to the ballpark and prep time for the ball games and doing the ball games and a good start for this football team. So at times it seems like it was just yesterday, and at times it seems like it's been years.
Sure.
In this process. But yeah. I've enjoyed it. It's what I've worked for my entire career.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to be doing it in spite of the circumstances.
And then your first call as voice of the Auburn Tigers at the very end of the game, the game winner to Seth Williams. I mean, that instantly, you know, with just kind of the situation and all that went into it, instantly became an iconic call throughout Auburn football history.
I felt a little guilty about that, and here's why. It was a thrilling moment for me personally and professionally. But, you know, we go to halftime, and Auburn hasn't scored a touchdown, so I immediately think back to Rod's first two and a half games as the voice back in 2003, and he doesn't get to call a touchdown until the Vanderbilt game, which is game three. And I'm like, holy cow, here we go again.
Right.
It was just halftime. And so I felt a little bit guilty, not only to get to call a touchdown in that first game, which I know that sounds ridiculous.
Sure.
But getting to call a game-winning touchdown in the last seconds. I walked down to the field to do the Auburn football review with Coach Malzahn and just thought, you couldn't have asked for much more out of your first game than what we just saw.
Right, right. And obviously a first game for you calling it, and then that game was also the first game for Bo Nix. And, I mean, obviously the similarities between his father's play and pretty cool. Pretty cool scenario.
There's a lot of symmetry involved because I immediately thought of his father's pass to Frank Sanders at Florida Field down at the Swamp in 94. A lot of others thought about his pass to Frank Sanders in the 93 Iron Bowl, coming off the bench on fourth down when Stan was injured and out for the rest of that ball game. So, yeah, a lot of folks thought, and it happened about the same place on the field, in those end zones for both of those
kind
catches.
Of fell into it.
Exactly,
hit the defender on like the 1 or the 2 yard
right.
line.
Well, the Sanders catch in Florida was in the end zone. It was a jump ball. The catch in the 93 Iron Bowl was a catch, and then he dove into the end zone. So there's some similarities there, and you know, a lot of things go through your mind at that point. And one of the things I realized, quite frankly, is through that call, I failed to mention how long the pass was.
Oh, yeah.
And so
look at that first game already trying to improve.
I love it.
And so I talked to Gene Dulaney on our flight home afterward. I said, Gene, I need some help with this. I need help with the yardage on that. You know, I was the one that missed it, but I need help from my spotter. So Gene has been feeding me that information ever since.
Now, I actually have a two-part question for you. First of all, did you know that Bo Nix's dad actually played quarterback at Auburn?
What? How many times do you think you've said that this year?
Oh, a couple. Yeah, a couple times. And listen, it will come up as long as he's the quarterback at Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
You know, every broadcast, and especially if Patrick's at the game, which I think he's been at every game so far. And the camera seems to find him. at every game so far.
Sure.
So,
is there a meeting before the season where like all the ESPN guys, the CBS guys, the radio teams, they all get together and they're like, "This is this year. This is what we're going to hammer home." Jarrett Stidham's from Texas.
Yeah.
Bo Nix's dad played at Auburn.
Well, it did. Listen, we don't meet with the other crews. From time to time, we'll talk with someone else, and you get to know some of these announcers a little bit because you spend some time with them. And we like to have, a lot of times we like to have the TV talent on our on our tailgate show, especially when we're on the road, because their booth is typically pretty close to ours, so it's easy to get a Brad Nessler or you know, someone like that to come in and be a part of our broadcast, because we know folks are watching and hopefully listening to us and that type of thing. So, but no, we don't meet with them. Listen, I mean, that note is readily available.
Right.
And that's an easy note. As our buddy John Botiford used to say, that's low-hanging fruit. Right. That's easy. That's easy to come up with. And, you know, for that first game, and there were a couple times I went back and listened, and I called Bo Patrick a couple times in that. Hopefully I haven't done that since, at least much.
Sure.
It will happen, though.
You know,
because I was the locker room guy for Patrick Nix's career, and there's some great moments in his father's career. I mean, that
no doubt,
that 93 Iron Bowl game,
two of those plays already,
the 94 Florida game, and he was a good interview, just like Bo is.
Right.
And you want to have those guys on. You want to have those guys, those athletes on your interviews. So, and you know, I've been around long enough. This is not the only generational thing. I mean, I was here when Gary Walker Sr. played. Mm. I was here when my first year calling women's basketball at Auburn was Vicky Orr's senior year, her last year at Auburn. Now I'll call her son. In his senior year.
That's cool.
At Auburn. So I've been around long enough that we're starting to see some generations of these athletes coming through now.
And just kind of, you know, mentioning those storylines, those notes. I mean, the stuff for the next 2 weeks is pretty clear, right? I mean, Arkansas and Gus Malzahn, that relationship, and then obviously the inevitable storyline every time Auburn goes down to Baton Rouge to play LSU. I mean, until that trend is broken, that's going to be the storyline.
Yeah, and put Will Hastings in that group this week because he's an Arkansas guy. There used to be more Arkansas players on the Auburn roster, especially when you know, that 2010 team had several. Lee Zimba was another of those Arkansas guys that came in. So for Will, he's going back home, and for Gus, he goes back home. And, you know, he gets a chance to see probably some family and friends briefly when the team gets into the team hotel, and maybe for a couple minutes after the game, but that's about it.
Sure.
I'm sure Will Hastings is trying to get as many tickets as he possibly can for his family and friends. And he's talked about how he knows some of the other, you know, some of those Arkansas players. So that'll be an interesting dynamic. And then next week is next week. I mean, it's LSU. Auburn hasn't won there since the Cigar game in 1999, and has had several big time chances and has come up empty, and likely it's going to be the number two team in the country that Auburn's going to face, and then they're of course building up to number one against number two later on. So
which we've seen that in that rivalry before.
There will be plenty of storylines when Auburn gets to Baton Rouge, but I'll be honest with you guys, this game scares me. This game scares me because of Tennessee last year.
Okay.
That's a game Auburn never should have lost a year ago, that Tennessee game here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
You know, they were looking for their first conference win. They were struggling, and they come in here, and Auburn has every chance to not only win that game, but pull away and win that game comfortably.
Sure.
And lets Tennessee hang around, and Tennessee wins the game to their credit.
Yeah.
Arkansas will be at home. They're looking for their first conference win. If Auburn can get out to a lead early and establish itself early like it did against Tulane and Kent State and A&M and Mississippi State, I like Auburn's chances to win the game and win it handily. If Auburn doesn't get out early, or if Auburn allows Arkansas to hang around late, this game scares me.
Yeah.
Because this team can score. This Arkansas team can score. They can put up some numbers. They have struggled from a defensive standpoint, and Auburn goes in, oh, by the way, without Booby Whitlow.
Sure.
So what does Auburn's run game look like this Saturday? We won't know until...
until it happens.
Yeah, until the game at this point.
We're talking about storylines, about facts about players. You know, I can see you've got your kind of big board cheat sheet here.
Why do people call it a cheat sheet?
I don't know.
I don't either. These are notes that I've put together.
What would you call it?
Well, that was going to be my question. If you put all these notes together,
it's what we used to call spotting boards, and it includes notes. And you know what? I mean, Rod did this. Jim Fife did. Everybody has their own version. For some, Neil Price at Mississippi State, for example, writes everything out.
Just by hand?
Yeah, by hand. Feels that that's the best way for him to remember things. If I did that, I wouldn't be able to read it.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm the same way.
Right. I do it on the computer just to keep it legible, so to speak. And of all the notes that I have, and for example, Derek Brown, I have one, two, three, four, five. I have six notes on his bio, so to speak.
Okay.
I may get to one or two of those. For some of these guys, I'll never refer to those notes. But you want to have it available just in case.
What is the best note, the most fun fact about a player that you've got on your spotting board?
Austin Capps, the left guard for Arkansas, is an agricultural business major.
Okay.
All right.
Dude is 6'4", 304. That's a big farmer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're not messing with that guy. I bet that guy can push you around for sure.
And here's another one. The third-string quarterback, John Stephen Jones for Arkansas.
Okay. Gary Jones' grandfather went to my high school.
Exactly. All right. His father played at Arkansas. His grandfather is Jerry Jones. He played at Arkansas. He was a really good player. He's not a big quarterback. He's only 5'11".
Yeah.
But won a state championship, was the MVP of the state championship game, but it's the Jerry Jones legacy there at Arkansas.
Sure. No, that's interesting for sure. As far as your preparation and evaluating and kind of getting to know Auburn's opponents each and every week, has there been a name that you've just been like dreading having to say on the air?
There was, and I don't have his name right offhand. There was a backup offensive guard from Oregon.
Oh, yeah?
That if he, and you know, they had several Samoan
sure.
names because there's just a lot of those players on those West Coast teams. And had he gotten into the ball game, and at one point the first stringer went out.
Oh, you're right. He did.
And
yeah.
I've got the pronunciation guide on my boards. I was ready. I was ready for that name. And I know it. I've messed it up. But he never got into the ball game that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right.
My first year doing radio, my first year out of college, 1983, I was doing football for Illinois State University.
Okay.
And Illinois State had a defensive tackle, no, linebacker named Issy Humanawanui. And I messed that name up so many times that year because I couldn't figure out the syllables.
Uh-huh.
But I remember it now.
Yeah, because it starts H-O-O-M, right?
Yeah. I was always adding a syllable to his last name.
Yeah. Yeah, because he had a tight end. I don't know if they're related, but it was like, I think Ho-O-Manawanu is how I always said it. But...
yes, it was his son.
Okay.
Yeah, it was his son. Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? He played for the Pats, so, you know.
There you go.
We find a way to work in the Patriots every episode. That was it. We did it.
Oddly, I can't believe we did that.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, me too.
I'm shocked. Even Jarrett Stidham came up, and I'm like, no, there'll be another opportunity.
Sure.
There'll be another opportunity. So I know you've made the trip to Fayetteville before. For folks making that trek, is there a restaurant that you would recommend?
I'm sorry, really fast.
All
before
right.
we move on from names,
yes,
are you nervous about having to say Akinbola a whole bunch during basketball
Not
season?
Really. No, he'll be fine. This is one, and I know this is a family show, but for 4 years, Katie Ferking played at Auburn, and I never messed up her name.
Okay.
All right? Now, it doesn't take much of a mental leap to figure out how you could mess that name up.
It's pretty close to something pretty bad. Right.
And it wasn't like she didn't play. She played a lot.
Oh, yeah, she was a big player, right.
So, I'll be able to get the Auburn names. And at times, he'll just be Stretch.
Okay. Sure.
Because that's how Bruce refers to him. That's how Bruce Pearl refers to him. Stretch.
So, not Babatunde.
No, but I'm going to use the name. I'm going to use the name as much as I possibly can.
It's a fantastic name.
It's a great name.
And it's long.
And the guy's a player, too.
Oh, he's a big man.
Yeah, he's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. You expect him to get minutes? I know there's a lot of big men on this team.
You know, here's the thing. You know, Austin Wiley hasn't had a full injury-free season since he was in high school.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think Akibola's going to get in, and I think he's going to play a lot. Because, listen, even if Austin is healthy all year long and has the kind of year that we all hope he does.
Right.
He's got to get some minutes to sit and rest up.
Yeah.
So Stretch is going to play.
And I know there's a lot of Auburn fans out there kind of hoping that Wiley starts at the five and Anthony McMoore comes into the four. But I've kind of said similar things. It's like, no, I think you need one of them on the court at all times or as much as possible.
I think right now, if you look at their starting five, this could easily be a starting five of all seniors. And I think you could see McLemore at the four.
Really?
Yes. I think it. Well, not all seniors. Yeah, it is all seniors. Javon at the point, Samir at the two, Dangell at the three, and McLemore at the four, and Wiley at the five.
Okay.
I think you could see that. Now,
I've just kind of assumed that Okoro was going to get the start as a freshman. But
well, I don't know. We'll find out.
Sure.
Platoon in five freshmen.
Yeah.
I mean, they're talented. They can hang with a lot of folks.
I asked Bruce Pearl about that last week for Tiger Talk. And he talked about this freshman class, talent wise, is a lot like Wiley and
Harper.
Dangell and Harper and those guys right. when they were freshmen
Mustafa.
As well.
Yeah.
That freshman class,
right.
This freshman class, talent wise, rivals that freshman class. And listen, if this freshman class turns into what that freshman class did. Wow, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, you take that.
Yeah,
Auburn
absolutely.
Fans take that every chance they can get.
Sure.
Since we're on the topic of basketball, at the time of recording this, tomorrow is tip-off at Toomer's.
Yeah.
I know that's going to be something that I don't know if Auburn basketball could have pulled that off a few years ago as far as just interest from the fan base, but I mean, it's the middle of football season, and here we are talking right. about Auburn basketball. There's,
well,
I can't believe it.
We were set to do this last year, too.
Right. Tropical storm.
And the storm came through, and they had no choice but to cancel it, although at the time that the event would have taken place, we'd have been fine. But there's too much
yeah.
from a logistics standpoint you had to do that. So yeah. this has been on the radar for a couple years. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to it. Looks like the weather's going to be nice and cool and – we'll be down at Toomer's Corner, and hopefully everyone can come down and join us. Free event. We'll be there's going to be a fan fest at 4 on the Sanford Lawn for folks. We'll be doing Tiger Talk at 6 on the court. Brad Law and I'll be doing Tiger Talk on
Sweet.
The court at 6, and then the festivities begin at 7.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome night, and yeah, once again, I just love the fact that Auburn basketball is being celebrated and hyped up in the middle of football season. It's the culture has definitely changed over the last few years. It's pretty cool to see. So, yeah, Andy, for those making the trek to Fayetteville, I mean, you mentioned that this game could potentially be a trap game. I know you didn't say trap game, but I mean, you mentioned that it
trap
it
sandwich
you.
Game, whatever.
Sure, right.
And I don't say it because of that, Zach. I just you have these games from time to time, and maybe it is a trap, maybe it's a sandwich game. I don't know.
Okay.
But the Tennessee loss last year makes no sense.
Right.
Makes no sense of a year ago.
Yeah, you're right.
And this is the kind of game that would, if Auburn walks out of there in Fayetteville with a loss, I'm going to be thinking the same thing. And then you have a trip to LSU.
That's tough.
Coming up. So Auburn has to take care of business. This is a very focused team, though. I don't think that Auburn's going in there by any stretch overlooking Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this team responds. I mean, I'm sure just the way that – I mean, a very veteran-led team. I mean, a lot of upperclassmen, especially on the defensive side of the football and the offensive line, I'm really curious to see how they respond from this loss. I imagine that they have been itching
yeah.
and dying to get yeah. back in and hit somebody that's not themselves.
The one thing that kind of throws a monkey wrench into this is from an defensively, no question, but offensively, what does losing Jatarvius Whitlow, what does that do
yeah.
to this offense? Is Auburn able to run the football with Cam Martin and Sean Shivers and Joyner and Malik Miller and Bo Nix?
Mm-hmm.
And also, by the way, I think Auburn's backup quarterback – Joey Gate was going to be in the game too, running the football as well. So that's the big question mark to me is how well does Auburn run the football Saturday morning in Fayetteville?
We've seen Malzahn just totally pull out all the stops against Arkansas teams in the past. I mean, do you expect him to do that? I mean, he's very close with Chad Morris. I've read and heard a lot of stuff about his relationship with the Arkansas head coach. Do you think that'll factor into anything, or do you think he's kind of just worried about doing what he needs to do on Saturday?
Listen, he's from Arkansas. He's playing a friend of his. That has to play somewhat of a factor. I don't think that Gus allows a lot of things, though, to get in his head other than the game itself.
Yeah.
We may see some things because Auburn didn't do a whole lot offensively at Florida. Mm-hmm. Auburn never did get things going.
Right.
Against the Gators.
They had that one drive late and ended with, Bo Nix making a freshman mistake.
Exactly.
Throwing that pick. Yeah.
So, and that's the one game to me that he's looked like a freshman. That's the one game. He had moments in Oregon, but he also came back against Oregon and played so very well. But he struggled. I think the kid bounces back this week against Arkansas.
He seems like a gamer.
I'm with you. Let me get this real quick, Michael. Sorry, this is not,
no,
this
you're
not
good.
My podcast.
No.
You're asking me about places in Fayetteville.
Oh yeah, food. Yes. Right,
sorry, I interrupted.
No, that's important.
This is always for me. It's a family trip. My sister and her family have lived in Springdale, Arkansas for a number of years. Springdale and Fayetteville are like Auburn and Opelika. They run
very
together.
Very close, yeah.
They run together. So for me, for the most part, this trip is always family. And almost my entire family is going to be there Friday night. My brother and his family are coming in from Norman, Oklahoma. My other brother and his family are coming in from Nashville, Illinois. My sister will be there. So all the siblings are going to be in the same place.
That's cool.
Friday evening. We will enjoy Guido's Pizza, which is a family-owned pizza company there. There's two of them, I think. And it's really good, thin, crispy crust pizza with all kinds of toppings. It's delicious.
What kind of toppings do you get on your pizza?
It's like the Meat Lover's Pizza.
Okay.
It's fabulous.
You load it up.
Yeah, I do.
Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
From time to time, I'm not opposed to it, but I doubt there will be pineapple on this pizza.
Okay.
This is going to be straightforward.
So go to Guido's.
Guido's in Tawnytown.
But not on Friday night. Sounds like it's going to be really crowded.
Well, we're going to be at the house. So
sure.
they're going to get pizza in.
Okay.
But yeah, Guido's in Tawnytown, which is a small little Italian community west of Springdale. That's the original Guido's. Go to that one.
Okay.
All right.
That's important.
Yes. There's also a place called Herman's Ribs. It's in Fayetteville. If you drive by it, it's very unimpressive from the outside. It's not real big. Checkered tablecloths when you walk in.
Sure.
Tons of pictures on the walls. Get the ribs for an appetizer, and if you like a pork chop, get the pork porterhouse. They have until
I'm
it runs
right
out.
Now.
And there, it's outstanding. That was a place that Jim Fife always went to. It was a place that Rod Bramlett always went to whenever they were in town for football, basketball, and in Rod's case, baseball as well. So
sure.
Herman's is, and then Brahms for ice cream.
All right, sweet. Brahms, so we got everything.
So there you go. So there's your Fayetteville/Springdale menu.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. We're almost out of time, but we have a few crucial questions.
All right.
I know Michael wanted to get
so
out there.
So I have one last question about your current job, and then I want to talk a little bit about your past in broadcasting. First, you've called a lot of different sports. We've talked about a number of them today. Which one do you enjoy the most, and which one's the most difficult?
Soccer was the most difficult for me because I didn't play the game. I had to learn the game to call it.
Yeah.
And so that was the most difficult for me because I was completely learning not only the game itself, but the team, and I enjoyed it immensely. I get that question a lot about what do I enjoy the most, and my pat answer is whatever season we're in, because it's all different. Listen, football is such an enormous event every week that you're playing. Basketball is, twice a week typically. It's a different pace of a game, and then you've got baseball, and you may have four or five baseball games a week, but it's a slower pace. I've called basketball and baseball longer than anything else that I've done, so I'm probably a little more comfortable calling those sports. I'm picking it back up as far as football is concerned, because for a long time I was doing a game a week, but it was for TV and it was on the tape delay side, and that's a different animal altogether.
Right.
So picking football back up has been tough. Just to start to do that again, and the prep work that goes into it, and just the enormity of an event. But the good thing about football is you have so much help. You have a big crew. We've got a big crew that I've been with. I was just the locker room guy before, and now I'm the play-by-play guy. So I hope that answers your question. I really don't have a favorite. I've done more basketball than anything else here at Auburn, because I've done women's hoops for 31 years coming into this. So that I'm the most perhaps comfortable doing a basketball game right now. But I'm looking forward to doing the men again. I'm looking forward to doing a game with a huge crowd behind me. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I've only called one Auburn basketball game in my 31 years at home, which was a sellout.
It was against Tennessee.
Tennessee in 2009.
How's that game? Yeah,
that SEC championship team with Nell Fortner as a head coach here at the Coliseum.
They were still undefeated at the time.
Yeah, it was here at the Coliseum, and it was a packed house, and it was just unbelievable energy. Well, I'm going to get a chance to do that a couple times over at the arena this year with men's basketball. I can't wait.
Okay, so if people don't know, Andy used to host Auburn Opelika This Morning, which Zach currently hosts.
He does.
Andy, I'd like to know, in your opinion...
All true. Well, those two statements are true.
In your opinion, why is the show so much worse now?
Oh, that's a premise that I'm not necessarily agreeing with. I don't necessarily agree that it is worse now than it was before. So I can't answer your question.
Oh, all right.
How about that?
Well, I shot you down.
You were very successful hosting Auburn Opelika This Morning. How many Abbeys have you won?
15.
Zach currently has 4.5. Do you think he'll ever catch you?
What's that? Sure he will if he's there long enough.
So ESPN, we won best app, and I was station manager of ESPN at the time.
Right.
And he doesn't think I should count it because Riley.
He claims it as
I would.
His award.
I would claim it.
All right, so I've got 5.
I would claim it. I would certainly.
The king of the Abbeys himself is letting me claim that one.
So do you think that Zach is one-third as good as you are as a radio host?
No, because he's only been doing it for about a quarter of the time that I did it.
I guess a third is more than a quarter, so. All right.
Sorry, I'm not going to join in on the frivolity there.
Yeah, no, he just wants to push me down. It's fine.
Here's the thing about that show. That show would have won Abbeys had Abbeys been around when Rod Bramblett was doing it.
Right.
And the other hosts of that show.
Yeah.
That show had been around for quite some time when I took it over in 2004. That same basic idea of community service, of covering the city council meetings and the school board meetings and the county commission and having different folks coming in, interesting folks coming, that was all in place when I took over in 2004. And it wasn't until, I don't even remember the first year that the Abbeys were around, that we started to enter. But I think that was an Abbey Award-winning show before Abbeys were around. It's just a great idea, and it is, to this day, it's a unique show because so many radio stations have gone away from local.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what sets that show apart from really anything else.
Can't get more local than that show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short, though. I mean, you had a huge hand in making that show what it is.
Well,
and I know that because your signature is on like all the contracts for everything that gets aired on the show.
We spent like the last month collecting all of our barter contracts.
Yeah.
I
did it for 12 years. I did it longer than anyone else on that show.
Yeah.
So there's a presence, so to speak, with that show.
And like you said, Rod hosted the show. You hosted the show. Now Zach hosts the show.
Yeah.
Are we sitting next to the potentially the next voice of the Auburn Tigers?
I don't think so. I don't do play-by-play, bud.
You got plenty of time.
I'm not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you got so much time.
Let's put it that way, gentlemen.
You got all this time Until he's done, I mean, come on. It's just, it's right there in line.
Andy, thank you so much for letting us come over here for a few minutes, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Love to.
Awesome. This has been another edition of the Locked On Auburn Podcast.